Are you in awe yet? Have you been astonished yet? Are you amazed yet? Man, I'm telling you, if you don't feel like you've worshiped this morning, you're wood's wet. I'm telling you, we just need to have an altar call, and you need to get saved right now. And I pray this morning, that's my prayer always, that the Holy Spirit invites you into a personal, intimate love relationship with Christ Jesus. Not just at the invitation time, but that God speaks into your heart even now. And that even now you would say yes to Him today. I'm going to invite you to find your place with me in 1 Samuel in the 18th chapter. As I mentioned earlier this morning, we had a Trinity Connect Day yesterday. Mitch was here early yesterday. I think he said about 6 o'clock he got started cooking chicken for us. And we had chicken. We took plates to people and we ate more than we should here. And man, it was just a great, great day. And we had folks playing and music and bingo and all those kind of things. I don't even know why I mentioned bingo. I didn't even come close to bingo. I'm really upset about that. I never even came close to winning. So nevertheless, we gave away some door prizes and some good things. Somebody had fun with bingo. It was a great day. And it was a day for us to connect and to build relationships. One of the things that I think that in church life that we fail to foster, that we fail to try to cultivate as much as we should, is relationships. God created us for relationship. The Bible says that God is love. And because God is love, He desired to demonstrate His love to someone, to something. And so He created us so that we could be the beneficiaries, the participants, the receivers of His love. And because God created us to be in relationship with Him, He created us to be in relationship with one another. When asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. To be in this deep, meaningful relationship with Him. And He said the second greatest commandment is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And so again, we see that the relationships are important to God, and they should be important to us. And too often, when we come to church, we sit in a room like this, and we see people across the room, and even maybe sometimes sitting on the same row as us, and we leave, and we don't really ever get to know each other. And so this morning, I want to challenge you in your relationships. Not just in the relationships here in this room, but in your relationships with one another at home, in your relationships with your friends, in your relationships with your coworkers, in your relationships with your neighbors, and just people that you come in contact with every day. And understanding that every relationship is different. But I want you to understand the importance of investing in deep, meaningful relationships. I came across this in my studies. There's a paradox of our time in history. It says that we have taller buildings, but shorter tempers. We have wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more, but we have less. We buy more, but we enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. We have more conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less sense. More knowledge, but less judgment. We have more experts, and yet we have more problems. We have more medicine, and yet we still have more sickness. We drink too much, we smoke too much, we spend too recklessly, yet we laugh too little. We drive too fast, we get too angry, we stay up too late, and yet we get too tired. We read too little, we watch too much TV, and we pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and we hate too often. We learned how to make a living, but we've not learned how to live. We've learned how to add years to our life, but not life to our years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We conquered outer space, but we have not conquered our inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but we've polluted our souls. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudices. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever. But we communicate less and less. These are the times of fast food and slow digestion, big men and small characters, steep profits, and shallow relationships. That's the world we live in today. And God did not create us for that world. God did not create us for these shallow, superficial relationships. We see an example here in 1 Samuel in the 18th chapter. You would be very familiar with the previous chapter. David, a young shepherd boy, is sent to check on his brothers in battle. When he gets there, he finds this Philistine giant, Goliath, who comes out every day and challenges the Israelite army. And they are all hiding in their little foxholes in their bunkers. And David says, well, I'll go out there and I'll fight him. You know the story. And David takes his slingshot. He goes out and he slays the giant, cuts his head off, wins the great battle for Israel. And oftentimes that's where our story stops. But it's just really the beginning. It's really just the beginning. It says in chapter 18 here in verse 1, now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, Saul's like, who is this guy? Who's this young boy? Whose family does he belong to? He wants to know who this David is. After he finds out, it says, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out in the cities in Israel singing, dancing, meeting King Saul and the tambourines with joy and with the musical instruments. And so the women sang as they danced, Saul has slain his thousand and David his 10,000s. I want us to focus this morning just on these few verses here of Saul or of Jonathan and David's relationship. I think we can gain some great insight here if we just look at this relationship. We see a sign of their relationship that Jonathan demonstrated by giving his robe and his military armor, gave it all over to David. There was a sacrifice there. He took off his robe. Saul had intended that Jonathan would be the next heir apparent. And Jonathan takes that robe off and is willing to give that to David and to pass it on, sacrificing his own self. There's a spoken commitment a couple of chapters over in 1 Samuel 20 in verse 13. They're speaking to one another. And he says, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And then in verse 42, That same passage says, "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, May the Lord be between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever.' So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." They made a verbal commitment. There was a spoken commitment and covenant relationship that they had. And this forms a relationship that is a great example for you and I. And so I want to just point out a couple of things this morning as we think about relationships, deep, meaningful relationships. What does it require of us to have these deep, meaningful relationships? First of all, this is a strong relationship. It's a strong relationship. It says there in verse 1 that their souls were knitted together. That he was knitted together there. That literally means it's a binding or a tying something up. Figuratively, it's attaching or fastening something on. It is that Saul and Jonathan were knitted together. They were binded together. They were interwoven together. I used to watch my grandmother do crocheting and knitting and things like that. And it was kind of, I don't know, for a kid, I was kind of sit there and look at that, and I go, I don't even know how she does that. Like, she'd just be sitting there carrying on the conversation, you know, just doing this knitting thing together. And she would make things for us. And it was always incredible how those things would just mesh together. And you'd think, what is she even doing? What is she making? And then in the end product, there would be this you know, incredible sweater or scarf or blanket or whatever it was that she was doing. It didn't just happen. There was some skill that was required for her to do that. This isn't a relationship that just happens. I think this knitting together is something that Jonathan and David are committed to. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9, it says that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And then notice what it says in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 11, just a couple of verses. It says, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I think this points to the strength of their relationship, the commitment that they made to one another. In general, they had been through the thick and the thin of it together. And this relationship is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. We all need that person in our life, those strong relationships. I'm going to date myself here a little bit this morning, but how many of you remember the Lone Ranger and Tonto? Remember the Lone Ranger and Tonto? Yeah. They were like partners, right? They were in it thick and thin. I remember hearing about the Lone Ranger and Tonto. They were out there in the wilderness there one day, you know, out on the prairie, and they're going out there and they look and coming over the rise, there's a whole band of Indians coming toward them. And the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto and he says, "Tonto, what are we gonna do?" And Tonto said, "Let's go east." And so, man, they turn and they take off east. And as they turn to go east, they look, and over the horizon, here comes another group of Indians toward them. And the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto. He says, "Tonto, what are we going to do?" And Tonto says, "Let's go west." And so they turn to go west. And as they're going west, they see another band of Indians coming over. And he says, "Tonto, what are we going to do?" And Tonto says, "Let's go south." And so they turn to go south. And here comes another band of Indians toward them. And he says, "Tonto, what are we going to do?" And Tonto says, "What do you mean, what are we going to do, Paleface?" Listen, sometimes we have these friends out here that bail on us when it gets hard, right? We need strong relationships. We need strong friendships. We need those friendships that are knitted together, that carry us through the difficult times. We just finished exploring the spiritual warfare that we're in, right? Listen, we need people with us. We need strong relationships to help us to win those battles in our life. Heard the story of a guy by the name of Herman Oistrus. He lived in Bruno, Nebraska. And he was a farmer there, and he had a huge barn that was close to a creek there, and it rained and flooded, and the barn ended up being under several inches of water. And so he decided that what he really needed to do, he realized that when he had built the barn, it was in a place that was prone to flood. And so he decided, I need to move this barn. He didn't really understand how he was going to do that, how you're going to tear down a barn and move it. And so he gathered up a bunch of his friends there. They devised a plan. And they went in and they secured the barn and they built supports in it. And those supports had handles on it. And they all came together, got all of their neighbors and friends together, some 300 plus people. And they all came around and they all had a handle and they picked that barn up. This huge barn, 17,000 pound barn, but with 350 or so volunteers, each one picking up, they were able to move that barn 143 feet to another foundation. Isn't it amazing what we can do when we're networked together in strong relationships? See, I believe the reason that we're seeing the church struggle so often today is because our relationships are so fragile and our relationships are so weak. We need strong relationships. We need to be knitted together. We need to be in one accord, if you will. Listen, the bottom line is we need each other. We saw this just a few years ago. We had this thing come up, kind of caught everybody by surprise. It was this thing called COVID. Y'all remember that? And you see what COVID did? COVID didn't affect the church necessarily or cause it, but COVID revealed some things about churches. And that is that people would come to church, they would sit in the church, they would go through a worship service, nobody would speak to them, nobody called them during the week. Nobody ever invited them over to their house. Nobody ever took them out to eat. Nobody ever sat down and had a cup of coffee with them and have a conversation and get to know them. And when COVID happened, they went home. And they started watching church on live stream. And they found out, you know what? I can sit at home. Nobody calls me. Nobody talks to me. Nobody invites me over to their house. It's just like going to church. That's why we've seen such a falling away during this period. It's because it reveals the fact that we weren't strongly connected in the first place. We need strong relationships. We need each other to survive. Well, not only did they have a strong relationship, they also had a see-through relationship. I love this. In verse 4, it says that he took off the robe that was on him. It is that Jonathan, for his part, kind of took the facade off, if you will. It wasn't because he was the heir apparent. It wasn't because he was the king's son. It wasn't because he was in a place of authority. He stripped himself of that. It speaks to his transparency. It speaks to his humility. It speaks to his vulnerability. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 6, look at this verse. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." It speaks about a relationship where we can be honest with one another, where we can be vulnerable with one another. You see, too often when we come to church, it's like, "How are you doing?" "Well, I'm okay, and it's okay, and you're okay, and it'll be okay," right? "Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed," right? Now, we need to come to church sometimes and go, "You know what? My week has stunk it up. In fact, I was set at home this morning for 15 minutes trying to decide if I was even going to get dressed and come to church or not. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to come to church and play the game and put a smile on and fix my hair up and act like I got it all together when I'm falling apart on the inside." It speaks to us being able to strip away the facade and be transparent with one another. It speaks to humbling ourselves. It speaks to us being willing to share the fact, "Hey, you know what? I know you're hurting. I hurt too." And listen, I don't want to unload my garbage into your can, okay? But I just need you to know enough to know this morning that I got some garbage, okay? And we all got some garbage. You know what I found out about garbage? Garbage stinks. Garbage stinks. It's not the chore everybody wants to sign up for at home, to take out the trash, right? But it's part of life. We need to have these friendships where there's no facade. Not our friendships aren't based on who we are or who they are. The Bible speaks about that. You know, Jesus talked about that. He's like, man, you're inviting people over to your house to eat because you know that they can invite you to their house because their house is better than your house. Why don't you invite the person that has no house to your house? How about entertaining the person that can't entertain you? That's what Jesus said. He talks about being vulnerable with one another, being transparent with one another, humbling ourselves with one another. You know, Danny, one of my mentors, is here this morning. I love you, brother. Danny can understand this. This is something I'm being vulnerable here, okay? This is something a lot of people don't understand about pastoring. I've had so many friends. I mean, people that just loved me to death. Literally, like they almost killed me. Because I was their pastor. And when I was no longer their pastor, I was no longer their friend. You thought I was being vulnerable. I hadn't gotten vulnerable yet. There were people in the church that I was their friend because I was their pastor. And when I was no longer their pastor, they were no longer my friend. Not from their perspective, but from my perspective. We're human. We're human beings, and we all struggle to be real with one another. We all struggle to be genuine with one another. Man, if we're going to survive this thing, and if we're going to have deep, meaningful relationships, we have to put aside the facades. We have to put aside the fantasies. We have to put aside our feelings sometimes, right? And be intimate and personal with one another. Listen, our innate need as human beings to be accepted. Look at social media today. Man, when we put a post on social media, we validate ourselves by how many likes we get or how many comments we get. And it doesn't validate us. It's like the next week we got to make another post so we can get some more likes, right? Because it's not real. But we think it is. Because we need that, right? Hey, here's a news flash. All your friends on social media, those aren't deep, meaningful relationships. Those are not see-through relationships. Because all you see is what they want you to see. All those family photos where they're all hugging and laughing and smiling and all those kind of things, and you're sitting there looking at that going, why can't my family be like that? Guess what? Your family is exactly like that because 10 seconds before they snapped that picture, they were fighting. Hello, can I get a witness? But we only want people to see what we want them to see. And they only allow us to see what they want us to see. Those are not see-through relationships. These are also a sharpening relationship. Jonathan and David, they both were better because of their relationship with one another. One of my favorite verses in Psalms, or Proverbs 27 and verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Our relationships should make us better. Howard Hendricks, a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, wrote a book called Men of Integrity. He said every man should seek to have three individuals in his life. It's what we often describe as the Barnabas-Paul-Timothy relationship. It is that Barnabas was an encourager to Paul. Paul then was an encourager and a mentor to Timothy. Every one of us need this Barnabas-Paul-Timothy relationship in our life. Every one of us need a person of the same gender, same sex. Men need men. Women need women. I need an older man in my life. A man that can pray for me. A man that can encourage me. A man who can help me get to where they're at. I need a Paul in my life. I need a guy that's kind of on the same level with me. A guy who can look at me and say, hey man, are you in the Word? Are you praying like you're supposed to? Are you treating your wife right? Don't look down when you answer. Look at me out of all the eyeballs. Somebody that can hold me accountable. And then I need a Timothy. I need a young guy in my life that I can speak into so that I can take what has been given to me and let that flow to someone else, because I can't be selfish. I need to pass on what I've learned to help others. We need those relationships with one another. If you're in a relationship that you're struggling with, if you're in a relationship and it's tearing you down, it's bringing you down, it's keeping you awake at night, it's causing you anxiety, that's not a sharpening relationship. I remember a dear sweet friend of ours. She had went through a horrendous relationship, and they had divorced. And she came and she sat down and she talked with Rhonda and I. And she asked some things. She was considering remarried. And this particular man that she was seeing at the time had some questions. And this guy was not in church. I mean, this lady loved the Lord. She had been a prayer warrior for us and with us. And just great encourager. And the question was, do you see this guy being the spiritual leader of your home? Guys, that's the role God's given us. And she said, no, I can't. We're like, so what are you doing? I know what the Bible says. I'm seeking godly counsel, but this is what I'm going to do anyway. And it leads to misery. Listen, if you're in a relationship that's tearing you down, that's taking you away from the things of God, that's not a good relationship. Now, don't you walk out of here and say, well, you know what? I heard the preacher talking today, and he said my spouse isn't bringing me closer to the Lord, so now I have the legal right to go get a divorce. That is not what I'm telling you, okay? Do not walk out. I do not want to have an epidemic of divorce tomorrow, okay? Listen, the Bible says that if your spouse is unbelieving, you pray for them and you stay there, okay? All right? But too often, we go into the relationships knowing where this is going to lead us. That's what I'm trying to share with you. We have friendships. Man, we have friendships that are so one-sided. Man, it's like, you know, listen, we've all been there. We've all got them, okay? And I got some friendships. It's like, man, I spend some time with them and I walk out of there and I go, goodness, man, I need to, whew. I don't even drink and I'm starting to get thirsty, you know? Man, I need something to take the edge off of that, right? I mean, man, it's just, their people will drain you, right? Those are not healthy relationships. And so we need, those are not relationships that will be our best friends, okay? We can't turn our back on the lost world, but our best friends can't be lost people. Our best friends should be those people who sharpen us. Which really speaks then to the fourth point that I want to talk about, and that is this spiritual relationship. This is a spiritual relationship. In 1 Samuel 20 and verse 42, then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord. There was a spiritual dynamic to their relationship. There was this spiritual element that was woven, knitted in their relationship. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. It's kind of a lengthy passage, but look with me this morning. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness have with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. We need to live lives that are set apart, but we need to live in partnership with people that are like-spirited. Our church family, brothers and sisters in Christ, to help us grow spiritually. If you have a friendship with someone and you never talk about spiritual things, then you ought to be evaluating that relationship. I've been amazed. I've had people in church life that went to college together, vacationed together, did life together, came to church together, and never had a spiritual conversation with one another. I don't know how you do that. You know, every relationship we have, we ought to be, even with our lost friends, even with our non-church friends, even with our non-believing friends, we ought to be having spiritual conversations with them. And so with David and Jonathan here, this is a relationship that's based on their mutual relationships with God Himself. Your relationship should help foster and grow your relationship with Christ. Man, I've come to grow and know so much more about who God is and what God desires for me in my life, not just through my own personal reading and studying and praying, but because of my relationship with other people. Man, I've learned how to pray by listening to other people pray for me. Then when I have opportunity to pray for somebody else, I'm like, how do I pray for them? I don't know. I know how so-and-so prayed for me. I think I'll pray for them like he prayed for me, right? And we grow in that. These close, personal, intimate relationships. Really, it really points back to our relationship with Christ. John Maxwell tells a story about two friends, Jim and Philip. Jim and Philip did everything together. They went to high school together and graduated together. They even went and joined the Marines together on a buddy program. And as God would direct their paths, they both ended up in Germany together. They found themselves in a firefight. And they came under heavy artillery. And as they were retreating back, Jim realized that Philip was not with them. And Jim broke ranks against the officer's orders. And he went back. And he got Philip. And through the smoke and through the darkness, after a period of time, Jim reappeared, coming back to his battalion, to his group, carrying Philip over his shoulders. And as he came back, the commanding officer just unleashed on him, even heavier than the artillery fire that they had been under. What a knucklehead you are. What an idiot you are. What a waste that was. You jeopardized us. You jeopardized yourself all to go back for Philip, and he's dead. It didn't even matter. And he said, no, sir, you're wrong. It did matter. Because when I found him, the last words he said before he died was, I knew you would come back. That's the relationships that we need. And when we have a fellow brother and sister in Christ who's been wounded in battle, we don't need to leave them there to die alone. And we need to be there for them. Those are strong relationships. Those are see-through relationships. Those are those sharpening relationships and spiritual relationships. And it's really all a reflection of our relationship with Christ. You see, I've come to discover the reason that most of our relationships are so shallow and superficial is because our relationship with God is shallow and superficial. Listen to me. The Bible says that God is love, and apart from God, we don't know how to love. See, when I was first married, I was lost. I was a non-believer. I didn't love my wife. I lusted after my wife. I thought at the time I loved her because, you know. But then when I got saved, I realized, hey, if I don't know the love of God and I don't love God, then it's impossible for me to love others. And so my prayer now is that I would fall more in love with God so that I fall more in love with her. Because my love for others, including my spouse, will never exceed my love for God. And so the only way that I can grow in deeper relationship with people, the only way that I can have a strong relationship with others is to have a strong relationship with Christ. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. We've been in this study for a while. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. God's desire is that we have a strong, strengthening relationship with Christ Jesus in order that we can have a strong relationship with others. You see, I can't have a stronger relationship with anyone if I don't have a strong relationship with God. I can't have this see-through relationship with anyone if I'm not first transparent with God Himself, right? The Bible says in Psalms 51 and verse 6, the psalmist cries out, he says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." See, until you get on your face before God and say, "God, search me, try me. God, you know my inner self. God, I can't fool you. I can fool those folks at church for a while, but I'll never be able to fool you. And so, God, you know me better than I know myself." Hey, if God knows you better than you know yourself, and He still loves you anyway, then you can be transparent with other folks. And they can love you in spite of all your bumps and warts and bruises, right? And if they don't love you for who you are, you don't need them in your life anyway. See, if we can't be transparent in our relationship with God, we'll never be transparent in our relationship with others. If our relationship with God isn't sharpening, if we aren't growing constantly in our relationship with God, then we're not going to be in those relationships with other people. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. Look at this passage. 25 and verse 26. "Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." You see, in my relationship with Christ, I am constantly being made more and more like Jesus. April the 5th, 1987, I gave up all that I understood about myself to all that I understood about Christ Jesus. And I was made righteous with Him. Since that time, I've learned a whole lot more about myself. Y'all not going to believe this. April the 5th, 1987, I thought I was a vile, wretched sinner in need of a Savior. After I got saved, I found out just how vile and wretched of a sinner I was. And I've done more repentance since then than I did that day. Hello? And God has worked more and more of His righteousness through me since April the 5th than He did on that day. See, so many people come to saving faith in Christ Jesus. You walk an aisle, you give your hand to the hand of a preacher, you get wed in the baptistry, and you think that's the end. That's not the end. That's the beginning. God wants to do a work in your life to transform you every day to be more and more like Him. And so it's hard for us, it's impossible for us, if you will, for us to be sharpening one another in our walk with Christ if we're not in that sharpening relationship with Christ. You can come to church and you can listen to the preacher and you can sing the songs, But if you're not personally invested in that relationship with Christ, you'll never be sharpened. It needs to be spiritual. You see, our relationship with God has to be more than just a head knowledge. We have to know more than just who He is. We have to be in an intimate, personal love relationship with Him. John chapter 4 and verse 23, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." It's easy to come to church and raise your hands. It's easy to come to church and hoot and holler and worship and put on a show. The question is it true or not? Are you in a real, true relationship with Christ? Because apart from that relationship, nothing else matters. He says again in John chapter 6 and verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Again, it's hard for us to have spiritual conversations with one another if we're not in a right spiritual relationship with God. I hope you're seeing this morning. To have deep, meaningful relationships with one another. To have strong relationships. To have these see-through relationships. To have these sharpening relationships. To have these spiritual relationships with one another first requires us to have that relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And so this morning you're thinking, I don't know why. Man, I'm having such a hard time in my marriage, or I'm having a hard time in this relationship, or I'm having a hard time with this person or that person. Why am I having such a hard time with them? Well, we have to go back to our own personal relationship with Christ. How is that relationship? Because that relationship is the basis of all of our other relationships. This morning, the real issue is your relationship with Christ. Not your relationship with other people. You see, all of this is the symptoms to the problem. So often, our financial problems are not the problem. The financial problems are the symptoms of what the real problem is. And it's the same thing in our relationships. So this morning, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you ever come to that point and place where you gave up all that you understood about yourself to all that you understood about Christ Jesus? That would be where you need to start. And if you say this morning, "Pastor, yes, I've been there. I've done that. I've given my heart to Christ. But you know what? I don't really pray. I don't really read my Bible. I don't really do anything to cultivate that relationship." Then this morning, You need to ask God, "Help me, God. God, I want to make that commitment today, God, to grow in my relationship with you in the here and now." This morning, God wants you to have a deep, personal, intimate love relationship with Him. And God wants us to have deep, personal, intimate love relationships with one another. And it's all through Christ Jesus alone. Would you bow with me this morning? Father God, this morning, we love you. And Father, we're so grateful this morning that a holy God would desire to have a relationship with such unholy people. And that God, to provide that relationship, you would send your Son to die on a cross for our sins. God, to cover our unrighteousness. And God, to make us righteous in your sight through His shed blood. God, just so that we could be in that relationship with you. God, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made so that we could know you. And so, Father, this morning I pray. God, I pray for individuals that are listening on the radio, that are watching online, that are in the sound of my voice right here in this building. God, this morning that you would draw them into a personal, intimate love relationship with you. And God, I pray for all of us that struggle in our relationship. God, to know you more and to love you more. God, help us today. God, to position ourselves. God, that we might grow in the strength of our relationship. God, that we can be real and transparent with you. God, that we can be transformed and made more like you today than ever before. God, today that we just know you in a very intimate way. So, Father, today we love you and we pray. And we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning we're going to sing another song. It's an opportunity for you to respond. I want to really encourage you this morning, challenges. This isn't a time just to kind of stand up and kind of get your legs under you and get your stuff together to leave. This is a time where we really respond to what God's spoken into our hearts today. Do we really want deeper relationships with Him? Do we really want deeper relationships with one another? This morning, the altars are open. Would you just simply come this morning? If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you think, I don't even really know what that means. Hey, come today. We want to pray with you. We want to help you to have that relationship with Christ. So as we stand and as we sing, you come this morning. As God leads, as God directs, you come today.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I truly fail. Like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, I would be. Without Him, I would be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? You can turn Him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? You can turn Him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Without Him, I would be dying. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? You can turn Him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus,
Hey, listen, I hope this morning that you can say, what an amazing God we serve. Amen? Amen. What an amazing God we serve. Man. You know, I think about it. It's hard for me to quit preaching sometimes. You know, I think about sometimes, man, we go through life and, you know, we want friends and we want to be popular. We want people to know us and all those kind of things. And listen, man, all that doesn't mean a thing without a relationship with Christ Jesus. Amen. Think about this morning. The God of the universe, the God who spoke with nothing in His hand and nothing up His sleeve, spoke the world into an existence. That God created you just so He could love you. If you need anything else beyond that, I don't know what it could be. I want you to know this morning, the God of the universe loves you unconditionally, steadfast, everlastingly. Amen? Amen. Whew. Well, I know at some point in time I got to quit and you got to go home. What an incredible God we serve this morning. Hey, let's sing something this morning.
It's Mississippi, and we all like to say yonder.
Yonder.
And I'm hoping when the roll is called up yonder, we'll all be there.
That's actually, people don't realize that in the South, they make fun of how we talk. We actually speak in the Greek sometimes, you know?
That's right.
And so that's a good biblical word right there.
Amen. Let's sing it. When the roll is called up yonder.
And the trumpet of the Lord shall sound it. When the same bird shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is gone, I'll be there. When the roll is gone up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Y'all have a blessed week.